Good morning. I invite you, if you have your Bible, to turn to Matthew chapter 1. I know we're doing this service a little bit different, and we have no children church and more kids in the service and such, and so I'm just want to take a little bit of time here this morning, though, to go to the Word of God and share with you some thoughts this morning on Christ, specifically Emmanuel, God with us. And so don't worry if kids make noise. I'm Italian. We're a family of God, and my family's really noisy. So I'm just used to talking over it. So I'm actually more used to not hearing it, right? But let's look at this. In Matthew 1, starting verse 18, this is the description of the birth of Christ, and it says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 7. In Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. And this morning, I'd like to just take a little bit of time here and concentrate on the name Emmanuel, which translates, right, God with us. Now, you may have wondered whether it's right to spell Emmanuel with an I or an E. Which one? Well, the answer is both ways are correct. Emmanuel with an I is a transliteration of the original Hebrew, composed of two names, Emmanuel, which means with us, and El, which is God. And that's where we get God with us. Emmanuel with an E is a transliteration of the Greek word, which emphasizes the nearness of God. The nearness of God. So Christ brought infinity, the holy God, right, to the finite man. John describes this revelation of Emmanuel this way. In John 1, John said this. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is described with the description of the Word there in verse 1 of John 1 is that the Word was God himself, was God. And he goes on and he says, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then what happened? Well, we jump down to verse 14, and it tells us, and the Word, which is deity, right, which is God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus, Son of God, did not come into being that Christmas evening, that first evening, right? No, he came to man, is what he did, so man could come to him. He came to live with us so that we could live with him, is what he did. Now, God with us is actually not a new idea or concept, right? We see that all the way back in Isaiah 7 it was spoken of, right? And so even the Old Testament, though, prior to the revelation of Emmanuel in Matthew 1:23, we see that the heart of God towards Israel was that he would be with them. And he emphasized that over and over and over. The phrase, I will be with you, occurs over and over again, spoken to Israel in the Old Testament. The Lord says to Isaac in Genesis 26:3, he says, sojourn in this land. And then he says, and I will be with you and bless you. And in verse 23, he's talking to Joshua, and it says, then he commissioned Joshua, the son of Nahum, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them. And then he says, and I will be with you. In Genesis 31:3, the Lord speaks to Jacob and says, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. In Deuteronomy 31:23, he says, and he commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. In Joshua 1:5, he says, and no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses. He says, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. In Isaiah 43, God gives a great promise of his presence in Israel, declaring that when, he says, not if, but when you go through deep waters, he says, I will be with you, right? I will be Emmanuel to you. When you go through rivers of difficulties, he says, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. And we can't forget the life of Joseph, right? In the life of Joseph, we hear over and over and over again that the Lord was with Joseph. In Genesis 39:2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. In verse 23, it says, the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. In Isaiah 43, the Lord told Israel, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Why? Because he told them at the beginning, I'll be with you. I will be with you. Matthew 1:23, as I told you, is a quote from Isaiah 7. And in Isaiah 7, historically what's happening there is the Amorites and the Israelites are seeking to conquer Jerusalem. And the king Ahaz of Judah was fearful. And the prophet Isaiah approaches King Ahaz and he declares that Aram and Israel would not be successful in their conquest against them. They will not conquer Jerusalem. And the Lord offers Ahaz the opportunity to receive a sign. He says, ask whatever sign you want. I'll give you a sign of this. Okay? But Ahaz refuses to put God to the test. He says, no, I'm not going to put God to the test. So God says, well, I'll give you a sign, Ahaz. And he states this through Isaiah. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. Okay? They'll be gone. Now the near fulfillment of that prophecy came true. Isaiah was referring in the near fulfillment to a woman, a virgin, right? That was there during the time of that prophecy, and she became pregnant and bare a son. And a few years after that, Israel and Aram would be destroyed. That was the near fulfillment of that prophecy. In the New Testament, though, the Apostle Matthew connects that prophecy with the virgin birth of the Messiah. And God does this over and over again in the Old Testament to show us that he's God, right? To show us that he's sovereign, and to give those in the next generations a sign of his greatness, which is us today. And so Matthew connects that prophecy to the virgin birth, right? And so Jesus' virgin birth is a far fulfillment. We call it a fuller, more complete fulfillment. Both fulfillments offer the same promise, which is, I, God, will be with you. Now, this has always been God's desire, and that is to dwell with his children. And I want to suggest this morning, when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. See? And it's not only God coming, but God being with us. Jesus is not only Emmanuel that one starry night, but he is Emmanuel today, tomorrow, and infinite tomorrows. Now, the sad testimony of Israel was they never got it. In Exodus 17, here's an illustration. Just after God had delivered them from Egyptian slavery, right? Just after he had set plagues out that touched the Egyptians and didn't touch them, after he parted a sea for them, after he took care of an army by himself, right, and released them from slavery, it says in Exodus 17:7, right, it says Moses named the place Massa and Meribim because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel and because they tested the Lord, saying, look what it says, is the Lord among us or not? Is he with us or not? And I want to remind you this morning that the child celebrated once a year, named Emmanuel, God with us, is forever with you. He is forever with you if you've believed in him as Savior and Lord and put your trust in him. Now, in what biblical ways is Emmanuel with us continually? And what biblical ways is Jesus always Emmanuel to us? I'm going to suggest three quick ways here. One is Jesus came and bridged the gap, right? He bridged the gap created by sin, our sin, that stretched between you and God. In John 14:6, Jesus said, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus on the cross of Calvary has brought you to the Father, by which you can now cry out, as scripture tells us, right? Abba, Father, right? He hears our prayers. You can approach his throne of grace, and you are united back to him. He has made the Father Emmanuel to you. He has made him God with you to you. Secondly, God with us is evident by the Spirit that lives in us, in those who are his children. Jesus told his disciples in John 14:16, I will ask the Father and will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And then he says, look, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also live. What will be the testimony of the Spirit? Look at verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Right? The testimony is God in you, Christ in you. And for how long? Look at verse 16. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. when Emmanuel came, God with us, on that morning, right? When he came on that evening or whenever it was, right? It was God with us, and those who recognized him as Emmanuel, those who recognize him as the Christ, those who acknowledge him as dying for their sins, he is Emmanuel always. Even though he left, he says, I won't leave you as orphan. I'll send you the Spirit of God to be with you. How long? Forever. He will continue. And thirdly, this morning, let me borrow an old Christmas movie theme. In Christmas past, Jesus Emmanuel came to bring us to the Father. In Christmas present, he continues to be Emmanuel, God in us through the Holy Spirit. And in Christmas future, Jesus will come again to bring us to an everlasting home with him and the Father. John 14 says this in verse 1. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A time will come when Jesus will gather up all who are his and take them to be with him. And he will be God with us for eternity. For eternity. In Revelation 21, the Apostle John describes this glorious day this way. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Faithful and true simply means you can count on it. You can count on it. He is coming back. When he came on that first morning, he was Emmanuel, God with us. And for those who know him, he is always going to be Emmanuel, God with us. That's the promise that we have through Scripture. Worship team, you make your way up here. The Gospel of Matthew actually opens with this promise of Emmanuel. Right? It opens with the promise of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And guess what? It ends with the promise from Jesus in Matthew 28:20. What does he say? And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It begins with the promise, God with us, and it ends with the same promise. If I were to speak on the fullness of the significance of Emmanuel, I would have to touch on that Emmanuel is a promise to be with us daily, to pardon and forgive us, and to be with us daily to sanctify and strengthen us, with us daily to defend and to keep, with us daily to lead and to guide, with us in sorrow and with us in joy, with us in sickness and with us in health, with us in life and with us in death. Spurgeon said this. He says, the greatest name is Emmanuel. He said, eternity's sonnet, heaven's hallelujah, the shout of the glorified, the song of the redeemed, the chorus of angels, the everlasting cantata of the great orchestra of the sky. In 1791, John Wesley laid on his deathbed at the age of 88. And they say that he lifted his head and died saying these words. He said, the best of all is God is with us. The best of all is God is with us. In a moment here, we're going to have some students come forward and they're going to grab some candles and they're going to pass them out. They'll pass them out on the end and pass them down and make sure everybody gets one. As they do that, we're going to ask that you stay seated. We'll sing together here as we do this. And we're going to sing Hark the Herald, which was either written by John Wesley or his brother, Charles Wesley. People believe one or the other, but one of the Wesley brothers. Let's sing.